Sue Carter is working her way towards retirement as a professor in the School of Journalism at Michigan State University. She's in her consultant year. She joined the faculty in 1991 after a 17-year career as a news broadcaster and talk show host in the radio business in and around Michigan. And she first taught journalism at Wayne State University in Detroit. She also served as secretary of the Board of Trustees and executive assistant to MSU presidents and a press secretary to Michigan Governor James Blanchard, another Spartan. Her BA in Humanities is from MSU, and she earned a JD and MA from Wayne State University. She's an ordained priest in the Episcopal Church, and if that's not enough, in 2001, she organized and led the first all-women ski expedition to reach the North Pole as a team. So it's a pleasure to welcome the very Reverend Dr. Sue Carter back to MSU today. Sue, great to see you.
Oh, Russ, it's always wonderful to spend time with you. That's quite an obituary you just read there. You know, perhaps I should hang it up now.
So, Sue, just as things wind down at MSU, just reflect a bit on your career here.
Well, it's been wonderful, and I confess, and you can figure out the age if I give the year. I came here 50 years ago as a student, as a freshman, living in Phillips Hall. And so I have seen this university evolve over the course of a number of years. It is a wonderfully respected university. We've hit a snag. We all acknowledge that. Things for which we are genuinely remorseful. And I give great credit to Acting President Satish Utpa, who made that statement recently at the Board of Trustees meeting, offering regret and sorrow for what we've done. But institutions go forward, and there are a lot of good people associated here. We'll be okay.
Well said, Sue. And I'm wondering, as your time in the J School, if they have, how have you seen students change and then the curriculum to reflect that?
Oh, well, the one thing that sticks out in my mind was I was teaching a large class, and after the class meeting at the beginning of the semester, one of the students came up to me and said, my dad took this class from you. They have changed. They've gone on to have kids, too, as well. They're focused in a different way. They're very attuned to the things that we didn't care about when I was a student here half a century ago. I didn't worry about things like healthcare or getting a job or those sorts of things. They understand it's a different world and a different market, so they make sure that they measure their studies along that line. They don't interact socially the way that we did. They do have their social components. But remember, Russ, when you and I were students, we'd sit around on a Saturday night, have pizza in the dorm, and just have what we'd call a bull session. It happens in different ways now, so that piece has changed. I found that students don't read as much as we did, and that does concern me. They gather information, but I don't think they go as deeply as we did. So those are some of the changes.
And Sue, what about this field of journalism? It's under siege from the highest office in the land at times, and companies are trying, the word we hear is monetize, figure out how to replace the revenue that's decreasing in the print product while people interact more online, but those ads don't fetch as much. I know we could have an entire conference on this, but sort of the state and future of the industry, you know, challenges and opportunities.
Yeah, two pieces. One, I do share your concern when our national leaders are treating journalists as enemies. Presidents routinely don't like the press because whether it was President Obama or the President's Bush, they're not terribly fond of us. And I understand that. So that concerns me that we are so targeted quite literally as journalists as being the enemy. The other piece about the status of news, and this is a question that I've often answered for parents who come and say, why should my child study journalism? Isn't it a dying industry? And I said, well, you get a lot of information, don't you? I said there are three things that happen with regard to journalism that I think of. One is the gathering of news, one is the editing or the processing, and the third is the distribution model. That model, the third part, has been a difficult one for us to figure out, whether it's a paywall for a newspaper or more ads or clickbait, that kind of thing. But we obviously need even more information than we did 50 years ago. And we need people who can process and edit it with a thoughtful mind. I get discouraged when I see the editing function sort of jobbed out, when the editors are gone from, for example, newspapers, because as a journalism professor, I can look at those newspapers and say, that wasn't edited the best way. So I get concerned there. Monetizing, as you point out, is a real problem.
Now, what about the skills then, Sue, that these students today that you're teaching need to hone to be successful in this new world that we don't even really know where it's going?
Absolutely. It was a, formerly, it was a student was in a print curriculum or a broadcast curriculum, and now it's across the platforms because we recognize that students will need these skills going out. They will retool, retrain as they go forward as journalists because the technology will change over the course of the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. But at least entering the workforce, they need to understand, and they do, and we teach across the platform so that someone who really wants to be a newspaper reporter has all of the other skills, the visual and the audio skills that are critical these days.
So one of the other hats you wore at MSU for a while was the faculty representative to the Big Ten and the NCAA. First, a little bit about what that role entailed, and then again, the challenges and opportunities facing intercollegiate athletics ahead.
Sure. As faculty athletic representative, that role means being the interface between the institution, in this case Michigan State, and, as you point out, the conference, the Big Ten and the NCAA. In some ways, it's what the individual makes of it. My focus was primarily on students. I felt that was really important. Legislation, of course, is important. The other faculty representatives in the Big Ten, I thought, were great resources, all of us amongst each other. But the life of the student-athlete mattered to me. It still matters to me. And that was the area that I really cared the most about.
So what about the challenges for the sustainability of intercollegiate athletics?
Well, you know, you've probably seen the discussions about Zion Williamson. Yep. And the magnificent Duke player, number one, and he probably will be number one in the draft. And the shoe that he was wearing, the Nike shoe that he was wearing, just blew apart on him in the first 30 seconds of the game against North Carolina. It brought to light a couple of things. One, that he is playing without compensation right now. He's a student athlete, so he gets room, board, tuition, books, and a very modest fee. So his career could have gone down the tubes right away. Fortunately, it looks to be just a sprained knee. But it also suggests that the money that comes in, Coach K apparently makes $300,000 a year in a shoe contract from Nike, while Zion doesn't get anything. So it's... We need to rebalance. The $1 billion that goes into the NCAA, and it's 95% of its budget, comes from March Madness. We need to rethink how we deal with athletics, with sports, with intercollegiate sports in this country.
And I understand part of it, too, is who's going to be sitting in the stands in 20 or 30 years? How will the TV model shake out? The vast majority of money comes from TV, right?
Certainly it does. TV money is critical. Just to drop a little footnote there, as we see fewer kids playing football, what might that mean is the pipeline for intercollegiate sports and ultimately for the NFL. Separate topic, yeah. but something to think about. It's a challenge. Former athletic director Mark Hollis pointed out trying to keep people in the stadiums when they can sit at home, have huge television screens, have a refrigerator right there with whatever they put in the refrigerator. So how do you get them into the stands on a cold game in November against Minnesota?
Those challenges are ahead, I guess. Well, Sue, I mean, what's next? You're still in your consultancy year, but what's next for the most Reverend Dr. Sue Carter?
Yeah, that takes a very, very big business card. Well, the life of the mind is important to me, Russ, as it is to many of us here at the university, as you as well, certainly. And so I'm finishing academic work for a doctorate in history. My focus is medieval history. I like castles, you know. Game of Thrones is really cool. But I really do care about that. It's humbling and it's important for those of us who are professors, who've been, to be students, because then we see the 180 degree, the obverse side of life at a university. And I think it's made me more understanding and compassionate over the years of what students have to go through. But this will be my last degree. My daughter said, I'm not going, Mother, to any more graduations.
Well, Sue, so just summarize again. We've talked a lot about mostly journalism. What concerns you? What are you optimistic about? What are you not so optimistic about?
Oh, I like the energy that I see in the young people who are coming through right now. Their issues are somewhat different from the ones that, that certainly I had as a young student. Vietnam War was critical to us then. But their thoughts about the value of the earth, their interest in ecology, as we might think of it in old ways, of climate change, that's really important. That they are entrepreneurial, in part they have to be. So I think this is a great group going forward.
Well, Sue, thanks so much for sharing your insights, and congratulations as you evolve towards retirement.
Russ, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you.
The very Reverend Dr. Sue Carter on her way to retiring as a professor in the School of Journalism at Michigan State University.